My talk is about bilinear absolutely integral along curves. Okay. Actually, it's along polynomial curves. So let P be a polynomial. So let's define a bilinear operator associated to this polynomial curve by this integral. E to negative I over T to beta . So when T is very small, we get a high oscillation from this phase. The main theorem we prove is this theorem. Well, of course, beta is a positive number. So if beta is bigger than 1, then we have some LP estimate. Actually, it's L infinity cos L2 to L2 estimate for T beta. So this problem was motivated by bilinear Hilbert transform and Hilbert transform along curves. Well, in the previous two talks, we know the bilinear Hilbert transform is defined by principal value of this integral. A celebrated theorem by Lacy and Tiller is the LP estimate for this bilinear Hilbert transform. So let's call this operator H. So Lacy and Tiller proved that this operator is bounded from LP cross LQ to LR if PQR satisfies this condition. For R bigger than 2 sub. Okay. So another motivation is the Hilbert transform along curve. So that a gamma T be any curve. So we may define Hilbert transform. Well, now we have two variables, x1, x2. By this integral. So this integral, this operator is Hilbert transform along curve gamma. When gamma t equal to t squared, well, this problem was initiated by Fabers and Rivière. Well, when they try to study the regularity of parabolic differential equation, they study gamma t equal to t squared case. And later, in the last 30 years, many people, well, including Mike Christ, Nagel, Stein, Wenger, many people had worked on this type of problem in the last 30 years. So it's natural to ask the bilinear analog of this question. So let's define the bilinear Hilbert transform along curve. Again, let me call this operator T gamma. So, But it's very natural to ask for what kind of curve we have at OPS tonight from this operate along curve. This problem turns out to be very tricky, even for gamma t equal to t squared. It's very tricky. There's an ergodic analog so by one theorem of Fürstenberg, we know that the practiced factor of trilinear average T FTANX GT BNX HTCNX. The characteristic factor of this trilinear average is characteristic for the bilinear average. So in ergodic theory, well, one way to understand this bilinear average is to understand trilinear average. Oh, I should thank Michael Lacy for telling me this theorem. So a possible way to attack this problem, maybe, or one possible way is to understand trilinear Hilbert transform, but unfortunately, the trilinear Hilbert transform is quite difficult, well, at least until now. So it will be very interesting to find a method without using any information of trilinear Hilbert transform. All right. Well, I will explain some difficulty I met in the end of talk for this problem. Anyway, now let's go back to theorem one. All right. So let me sketch the proof of theorem one. Well, first we decompose 1 over t. Into a sum of bump function. Well, though it's a bump function supported on this interval from one eighth to half. So that's the graph of rho. So then we write down, we decompose the operator T beta. Well, of course, for simplicity, let's only consider the case when PT is P squared. Okay. Oh. The general polynomial case is similar. So by this decomposition of 1 over T, we write down T beta as a sum of Tj beta, where Tj beta is equal to this operate fx minus 2 to j t dx minus 2 to negative 2 j t square. Now in this case, pt is t square. Bi 2 to beta j over t to beta ot dt. Okay, so now in order to get the boundedness of T beta, we have to consider the boundedness of Tj beta. So we have to decompose this operator again. So if we use Fourier transform, we may write down this Tj beta as a pseudo differential operator associated to some symbol. Times the symbol Mj beta. C eta, d to c d eta, where this symbol is defined by So this symbol is equal to integral of log t times e to negative I 2 to negative j t at 3 t plus 2 to negative 2 j eta t squared plus one more times 2 to beta j over t to beta. So we have this phase function here for the symbol. So to decompose this operator, let's decompose to see eta plane first. Okay, I need a big picture. Okay. Okay, let me draw a picture here. So we decompose, well, let me only decompose the first quadrant. Other quadrants are similar. So we decompose the first quadrant into 8 pieces. Okay. So this point is eta equal to 2 to 2j plus a very large number b beta. So b beta is a very large number which depend on beta. Wait, this should be negative. Another one is 2 to 2j plus b beta. Okay. Now this point is C equal to 2 to j minus b beta. I'm sorry, I think I forgot 2 to... I think I forgot 2 to beta j. So this point is 2 to beta j minus j. Should be plus j, I'm sorry. Minus b beta. On this point should be 2 to beta j plus b beta. At this point, the projection of this point should be 2 to beta j plus 10 b beta. Okay. So the reason we decompose this eta plane according to the occurrence of the critical point of this phase function. If you call this phase function, let me call this phase function phi c eta t is 2 to negative j c t plus 2 to, well, I have to factor out 2 to beta j first. So we get 2 to negative 2j minus beta j eta t squared plus 1 over t to beta. Okay. Now, in this strip, in the middle part, the middle strip, if you compute the second order derivative, and in this part, the second order derivative may be very small. But for the region below this strip and above this strip, the second order derivative should be very big. So that's the good thing about this decomposition. Well, now let me call this part the operator whose symbol, tj beta 1 is the operator whose symbol is support in this region. Actually, it's a small neighborhood of this region. Let me call this operator tj beta 1, and I should call this part tj beta 2 and this part tj beta 3. MTJ beta 4, MTJ beta 5, and this part of TJ beta 6, and 7, and 8. So for TJ beta 2, for this region and this region, I think one more region here, and this region, for these four regions, it's easy to see that in these four regions, there's no critical point of frequency eta t. So this four region actually is trivial region, because in this four region, essentially, we will get a product of two functions, f times g, well, due to the decay. All right. So, but this region is not trivial. Tj beta 1, I don't know how to get a decay estimate for Tj beta 1, but fortunately, it's not difficult to sum Tj beta 1 together by using Little-Paley theorem. This is because of Little-Paley theorem. Alright. A question about TJ beta 1 is this one. Let me pose the first question. Is it true we have L infinity cross L2 to L2 now has some decay? For some positive number, epsilon. I don't know whether or not this is true, but I believe it's true, but I don't know how to do it. Because the stationary phase method is not enough to get a decay estimate, well, at least for beta small. I suspect that stationary phase method will give a decay estimate for beta very large, say beta bigger than 6. But I'm not very sure about it. All right. For other three pieces, TJ beta 4, and TJ beta 7 and TJ beta 8, we do get a decay. Because in this three region, the second order derivative of frequency eta is big. So since the second order derivative is big, so actually the critical point is quite stable. Well, by stability, when you perturb KC eta a little bit, the property of critical point didn't change a lot. So we are able to use, we are able to do calculus. So now let me show you how to get the decay estimate for the remaining three pieces. We have the operator norm is bounded by some constant depends on beta times 2 to negative epsilon j for some positive number epsilon. Whenever k is equal to 4, 7, and 8. Okay, so if we know theorem 2 and plus the fact sum of Tj beta 1 is bounded and plus the trivial estimate for these four regions, then we get theorem 1. Okay. Now, let me just sketch the proof of theorem two. The proof is based on TT star measure and a stationary phase. Let's only consider the case when k equal to 4, and other two part Tj beta 7 and Tj beta 8 are similar. Okay. Well, this case can be reduced to a trilinear decay estimate for a trilinear form by grayscaling argument. So let me just write on this trilinear form. Let me call it lambda 4 f1 f2 f3 is equal to this, the double integral f1 c f2 eta f3 2 to negative j to c plus eta Big C theta eta, big C d eta. Okay, capital phi and theta are bump functions supported on these two intervals respectively. So this is capital phi. Theta is a bump function supported from 0 to 1. So actually, we could see eta is in some compact set in the 2D plane. Okay. What do we want? We want to get a decay estimate for lambda 4 in other two spaces. So that is, yeah. So let me write on a plane. I think I forgot the symbol. I'm sorry. There's a symbol here. Here the symbol mc eta is equal to. Okay, let me just copy the symbol. The integral of t e to I. 2 to beta j times phi 4 to c eta t dt, and the phase function phi 4 to c eta t is equal to ct plus a small number 2 to negative b beta. Now remember, b beta was chosen to be a very large number, so 2 to negative b beta is small in this case, times eta t squared minus 1 with t to beta. So what do we try to show? So next, what do we try to show is claim 1. We try to show we have some decay estimate in other two spaces for this trilinear form. Well, it's trivial to get the estimate C beta times 2 to negative beta j over 2. If you don't have this extra decay, it's trivial. How to get this extra decay, we have to use TT star measure. So let's see how. Well, actually, since the second order derivative of phi of this phase function is big, right, if you compute the second order derivative with respect to t, then this number should be bigger than some constant. So we may use stationary phase measure to replace this symbol by its principal part, so which is 2 to beta j over 2 below e to I 2 to beta j phi 4 to phi eta t0, where t0 is critical point of the phase function phi 4 xi eta. Okay. Now this stationary phase phi t0 gives us high oscillation times 2 to beta j. Now let's see how to prove claim one. So actually we just write this trilinear form by a pair of a bilinear operator, let me call it T4, F1, F2, pair with F3. Well, of course you may put up the value for it. And then use Cauchy-Schwarz, we get L2 norm of this bilinear operator times L2 norm of F3. And then we have to compute L2 norm of this bilinear operator, T4. Well, let me square it. It's not difficult to, well, by a simple computation, it's not difficult to see that this L2 norm is equal to integral with this integrand, double integral f tau u times g tau v times e to I 2 to beta j times the phase function q u v. Now, of course, this phase function depends on tau, du dv, d tau. Now, f tau, g tau, it's some function depending on lowercase f1, lowercase f2, respectively. Well, so the only thing we need to prove is that in order to get claim 1, we need to show that there's a decay estimate for this bilinear form. Well, actually, this phase function q tau uv is equal to phi 4 uv t0 minus phi 4 u plus tau or minus tau v minus 2 to negative j tau t0. So in order to get a claim 1, we have to prove claim 2, we try to get a decay estimate for this bilinear form. I 2 to beta j q tau uv du dv is less than two to negative beta j times a number which is very close to half, tau to negative half plus epsilon over 2. Now to get this decay estimate, well, we have to use a theorem of Stein Feuerstein. Well, if this phase function is degenerate, well, by degenerate I mean if du dv acting on this phase function is zero, well, in this case, well, simply this phase function is a sum of two functions. One function is a function of u, another function is a function of v. So you may hide this phase function into these two functions. So in this case, you get a degenerate case. So in order to get a decay estimate, well, this derivative cannot be zero. Actually, it's not difficult to compute the first order derivative, actually second order derivative of this phase function is quite large. It's bigger or equal to C beta times tau. And also we need one more convexity condition for this phase function in order to get a uniform estimate. When you take a second order derivative with respect to u and dv, q tau uv, this derivative is not zero. So the phase function satisfies some convexity condition. Put these two conditions together and we may apply Feuerstein's theorem to get the desired decay. Okay. Alright. So one more thing to mention is that without this convexity condition, we cannot claim a uniform estimate. But the reason we get a uniform estimate, we have some constant depends on beta only. And this constant is independent of the phase function. So without this convexity condition, well, we cannot claim this uniform estimate. So it's necessary to verify this condition. Okay. All right. So now put the claim 1, claim 2 together, we may get theorem 2. So that's the proof. How many minutes do I have? 10 more? Okay. Okay. So finally, let's go back to the Baddeley-Hilbert transform along Clebert's. Well, I will discuss some difficulty I met in this problem. Let me call it T. Well, again, of course, we may decompose 1 over T. Well, I think at least T, let's only consider T between negative 1 and 1 case. But we may decompose 1 over T by using some smooth bump function. And then we have to decompose to see eta prime by using Plebler. Now this Plebler is eta equal to C squared. And then we decompose other part by using more plus. All right, so let me call this the corresponding operator supported in this part T0, T1, T2, in general, Tm. Now Tm, the symbol of Tm is supported in the region bounded by these two parabolas. One parabola is eta equal to 2 times c squared over 2 to m. Another one is eta equal to c squared over 2 to m. Now the difficulty is that it's not easy to get almost orthogonality of Tm. So one natural thinking is to get orthogonality, well, we want to get decay estimate for Tm. So question two. So for Tm, do we have decay estimate? From L2, cross L2 to L1. Well, the main difficulty is that I'm able to prove the decay estimate when QC eta is not so far away from zero, say this part. Well, I think this line is determined by this point 2 to 2m, say. So for this region, by TT star measure, we may get the desired decay. But for QC eta away from zero, in this part, the method of TT star fails. That's the main difficulty.
So, Chapman, isn't the bilinear symbol taking L infinity north 1 out in that region?
No, in this case, I can see that L2 cross L2 to L1, not L infinity north. Okay, if you get a decay estimate, you get or LOP estimate, actually. All right. So the main difficulty is because the TT star measure fail in this region. So let me. And we may reduce the problem to this bilinear Fourier restriction problem. So question three. Now, let J bigger than M, bigger than zero, both of them are integers. So let's define a bilinear Fourier restriction by this operate F1 2 to neck to JX minus 2 to M T times G1 X minus 2 to M T square low T dt. Well, F1 at G1 is the free restriction of F and G. Now phi is a standard bound function supported between 1 and 2. G1 hat is equal to G hat times phi t. Okay, I call this case the bilinear Fourier restriction because we restricted Fourier transform for both functions, f1,
f and g.
All right. So without this restriction, of course, we cannot get any decay estimate. Okay. Now the question is, let me call it star bjm fg. Now the one norm of this bilinear operator is bounded by some constant times the maximum number of this true number, L2 norm of F and L2 norm of G. Okay. So I don't know how to prove star. For the case when J is very big, J bigger than M, I'm only able to get the decay estimate for J less than M by using TT star measure. So the condition J bigger than M corresponding to the region where Cc eta is far away from zero. And in this region, well, actually TD star measure fails. It's easy to find a counterexample. All right, I think I should stop here. Thank you very much.
Is there any questions?
Near the cutoff point or near infinity?
It's near, well, you mean for T? If
you cut,
yes. Well, the trouble is this part, away from.
Yeah. Which of the circles? The first one or all of them?
I think all of them. Okay. It's not as easy to get almost a orthogonality by using time frequency analysis. For different TM, it's, I don't know, if there's no such decay, then this problem may become very, very tricky, or maybe not, maybe the bilinear Hilbert transform alone probably is unbounded, if without decay, I think. But I spent a lot of time to try to find a counterexample of question 3, I didn't find any counterexample. Well, actually, I'm able to prove some special case. Yeah, I think I'm able to improve by iterate the TT star measure a little bit. And I think I'm able to get 2 to km. So you may even move this line to some place away from zero. But unfortunately, the operator norm depends on k. So there's still a trouble. Anyway.
Thank you.